The rotundas have been disrespected. The roads have been disrespected.
Yes.
His bloodline is getting to the Rock's head. He's becoming a maniacal, evil final boss.
Yep.
Oh my goodness. He tried to take over the Fast and Furious.
Ooh.
He tried to take over Jumanji.
Tried to take over DC.
The Rock is maniacal. How much have you been watching lately?
So I've been watching, I watch Raw every week. I pretty much see every NXT. I tend to catch SmackDown highlights. And I've watched very little AEW. But I feel like that's my relationship.
That's kind of the thing for me.
Yeah.
I find AEW's been more manageable in clips for the most part, and then kind of watch the pay-per-views, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like I can watch an AEW pay-per-view and I don't have to have watched anything in the build-up. Like, I'll just get it. I'll just get great quality matches on the night. It'll be like 5 hours worth of wrestling, but like week to week, there's nothing really. Nothing to get me hooked like a WWE story gets you mm-hmm. hooked.
Oh, have you calmed down from England? It's coming home. It's absolutely 100% coming home.
I'm waking up from the match. I am coming round. The energy levels are returning to normal. I no longer hate the fact that I have zero foreign blood in me, so I can't claim ownership of any other football teams. We're like 1/16th Irish, right?
Even though they're not in the tournament. 1/16th, yeah. They hopped over as what, working immigrants? Great-grandparents? Is that the 16th or is it great-great?
I can't remember. Possibly.
Great.
I don't know.
It's a portion. It's the alcoholic portion of us.
It is, yeah.
Irish. Mixed with the alcoholic portions that is English, so 100% alcoholic,
pretty much. Sounds about right.
Which is what I mean. Being an England fan makes you really.
It really is.
So, yeah. So what are we? 27, 28 minutes removed from the full time whistle.
Mm-hmm.
Jude Bellingham's 95th minute overhead kick. Do you know? Well, what's funny about that, right? I have to show you something. A sec. People aren't going to see this, but I have to show you.
Don't try and do an. He's the headphones, right? He's going to try and do an overkick. He's not realised that his background is blurred, and that I can't see him. Oh no, he's not going to do an overkick. He's got a shirt in his hands.
So it's the new Real Madrid Jude Bellingham shirt with the number 15 Champions League. So I had two Bellingham shirts arrive this week. I'd ordered one weeks and weeks ago in anticipation for the Champions League final. So last season's Real Madrid shirt. And I wanted a Bellingham shirt for the final because it was at Wembley. I thought it'd be great. It didn't arrive in time at all. Got lost in the post or whatever. So the guy was just going to send me a new one. Earlier this week, 3 days ago, the last season's Bellingham shirt arrives. Like, oh great, happy days. So I wear that. And then 2 days later, the new Real Madrid Bellingham shirt arrives. So I've got two Bellingham shirts arrive this week, and then he goes and scores a mad overhead kick and just Bellingham energy.
Oh, the value of that shirt shot up.
Those two shirts, like, I'm sorry that we've got Gareth Southgate and like he's spewing all that energy out, but England, you're welcome. That's all I can muster this time. I can't save us in the quarter.
Quick, buy another one. Oh, buy another one.
Watching England, mate. So, should we shake off England energy?
Let's do it. Let's do it. It's an exhausting experience, but let's forget that it ever happened.
Yeah.
Let's cast that shit off.
Yeah.
Let's get into some wrestling goodness.
Yes, some fantasy faction and some wrestling goodness in general.
Yes.
So this round of fantasy faction that's been happening, so it's leading up to Money in the Bank, and it's got six pay-per-views in total throughout the whole round. So it's a massive, massive thing, massive points. And we are heading into Forbidden Door a little later this evening. It will have already happened by the time this recording comes out. But we have people drafting New Japan pro wrestlers into the teams for one night only. And if they win, you score some massive bonus points. People have already drafted the likes of Naito already. Actually, Naito's got quite a lot of picks. Zack Sabre Jr.'s got a couple of shout-outs. I believe our man in Denmark got Zack Sabre Jr. He'll be crying biscuits this week. Denmark went out the Euros.
It did.
To the Germans, unfortunately. But he might not be crying biscuits, the champ, by the time next week comes, because he's in fourth place currently going into the Forbidden Door.
He can't do it again, surely. He can't win again.
Do it again. I think he's on something like 67 days into this historic reign as champion. We'll fact check that and put a post up next week of how many days he's been champ. But it's up there. It's San Martino-esque, really.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
How would you compare it then? So the wrestler in Og Nordin's title reign.
So what are we? Three cycles in. Yeah. What would you compare him to? He's not a Kane, so he passed the first challenge.
Yeah, he passed the Kane. He's not a Rock.
Yeah,
because the Rock had historic like short title reigns, 1 month, 2 months before dropping them. He's
year one more consistent. Year one Brock. Year one Brock about to be shafted thing, by Brock. Maybe.
Yeah. Burst onto the scene, won the title in pretty convincing fashion. We thought it was going to really go somewhere, but ultimately ended after a few months. Right. News. What's been going on in the news? What have you heard?
What did you hear?
I heard that Mark Henry is a voracious protector of kayfabe still to this day. Doesn't like that the Wyatt Six posed with some kids in a burger joint, which, to be fair to him, you can't be stopping and acknowledging kids. No, that's not what we're here for. We're here to make money, wrestlers, and party, and you know, and live that life. It's not a kid product. We're not here to appease the kids. Totally agree with what Mark Henry's saying here. Yeah, is that what he was saying?
This the same Mark Henry that thought that Kairi Sane had disrespected all of wrestling, WrestleMania, by dancing in the ring or like mocking Jade and Bianca when they entered the ring, like a bit of a old man yells at clouds thing to that. I think it's 2024 for God's sake. Like we're not in the 80s territory days anymore. Like
yeah.
Let the guys get the burgers and pose with a fan if they get the op. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wasn't really that bothered. Is it going to dampen the impact when we see them on TV? Absolutely not.
No. I'm of course kidding about the kid thing. His perspective is clearly that some mystique needs to still be around because of the void that, you know, as been there since Undertaker retired and since Bray Wyatt sadly passed, right? So I think there's a need to keep that alive. But I mean, if you're out in public, like, and you see these kids, which still, in all seriousness, are a legitimate part of the audience, and it's exciting to see a wrestler when you're a little kid. It's like they're these grand figures, and it's really important to give like kids these little moments of like positivity and just wow, you made their day, you made their week. And you're right, it doesn't take away from what's going on in the ring. Is Buddy Murphy and Rhea Ripley getting married going to cause a confusion in this Judgment Day storyline? for anyone. Right.
Exactly. Exactly.
So don't worry, Mark. With greatest respects to a veteran whose opinion is way more valid and carries more weight than ours. But yeah, if you're a celebrity, you see some kids, what are you going to do?
Well, there you go. I mean, does it though? Does it? Because we're just as much, we're just as knowledgeable as fans as he is as an ex-pro. So, you know, just saying.
Yeah, we carry different perspectives.
Exactly.
I suppose. I mean, from a fan point of view, it's great to have moments where we can interact with them because they come few and far between for an individual. So,
aye. But just shut up and crack on.
Yeah, let's crack on, shall we? What else has been going on in the news? Shall I type WWE news into the old Google? Kayla Braxton worked her last night.
Last
night at Madison Square Garden, Friday rather. Yeah, big prominent figure for the last 8 years. Put in a good inning, put in a good shift. She's probably going to be on to bigger and better things now. Mm-hmm. Probably met some very good contacts within the TKO group, WWE group. Best of luck.
Yeah, I think she'll be a missed presence, but she's onto good things.
She's got a greater ceiling, that one. Dijak has left.
Yeah.
WWE. And I'm getting conflicting feelings about what I'm seeing online, right? So I read his letter. He typed up a letter. He printed the letter. He took a picture of the letter. He posted the picture of the letter that he wrote and printed out. A little harshly held back. He could have filled a role. I think the Terminator gimmick probably ran its course. Mm-hmm. He had some battles with Keith Lee back in the day. Like, they were the height of his run, I think. They were epic, but never quite took off. I'm seeing today on the internet that apparently he was a leak for Fightful. He would leak information.
Really?
They knew about it and didn't renew his contract because of this. So more information will have to come out. Speculation and rumor and innuendo right now, ladies and gentlemen. But
rumor and innuendo.
So we'll see what comes of that. But he, again, best of luck to anyone trying to find work. He's making he's made a couple of indie appearances so far, and he's actually going to be with Raymond Sanchez on the Respect the Craft podcast. He's going to be a guest.
Nice.
Raymond, he was on a bit of a break recently. He had an illness that took him out for a minute, but he's back with a bang and interviewing Alexa Dijak. He's got Leo Rush going to be coming up rescheduled, so he's in our fantasy faction crew, so good for him. Welcome back.
Absolutely.
Glad he's doing well. Glad he's doing really well. But Dijak, we'll see. AEW might be his place. I don't know what his ceiling is. I don't know. What do you reckon?
He always promised, you know, something fantastic. He really, really did. And like you say, you know, he had those matches against Keith Lee. He had, like he said on his letter, you know, a fantastic match at Mania Weekend on NXT.
Yep.
So he's absolutely got the talent. He's got the size. But, I mean, Dijak, if it's true, you know what snitches get? Future endeavoured, clearly. Yeah, just, I don't know. Hope all the best for him.
Obviously
he would and will absolutely tear up the indies. He'd do great in somewhere like TNA.
Yes.
But if being a contact and being a leak for the likes of SRS and, you know, the dirt sheets and stuff, is that going to taint the big three and your possibilities of getting in with them? I don't know.
It'll close some avenues. I think for sure there'll be some people that are will be skeptical about it if that's out there. But yeah, TNA could be a very good platform for him. You definitely see him mixing it up with the likes of Moose However, with TNA's relationship with WWE at the minute, maybe that closes that door for the minute.
But
we'll see.
True.
Yeah. Yes. All right. What else is happening in the news? MVP recently suggested on his social media that Triple H and the creative team were deliberately suppressing the rise of the Hurt Business. They wanted certain people involved. Don't know. Is that a creative direction in response to how fans perceive the Hurt Business? Is it the members of the group? I felt they could have taken off more. I was surprised when they split them up and they had tensions. I'd say I kind of liked when they had tensions in the group, but still stuck together and got the matches done. Like Finn Balor and Damian Priest had issues, but still got it done. And they pulled the trigger too quickly on the Hurt Business breakup, I thought. But for what reason? Don't know.
I loved Hurt Business. At the time, I wished they'd just kept it together because it really was working. Part of me can see why you would want to derail it if you had plans to like bring profits in and put them into that thing. But then they've not really done anything with that faction. And has it been about a year since?
Yeah.
They joined forces.
I feel like it was on its way to SummerSlam last year when they debuted.
And I want Bianca. Like I want that faction to be heel, and I want Bianca in it. I feel like, and them to just go, you know, just go for it, do it or don't do it. But the thing is, it is what it is. Like, it's not the first time. It won't be the last. I don't think there's anything insidious beneath it. It just clearly they had other plans for other people. I remember seeing that kind of trending stuff, and people were speculating and like acting shocked about it. And I was like, I mean, someone had to make that call, and it was only going to be one of two people at the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is what it is. Like, loved it when it happened. I think it definitely had more legs to go longer. I just wish they would have done more with Bobby and Profits while they've had them.
Yeah. It's tough with the Profits, isn't it? Because Montez Ford could be such a breakout guy. But Angelo Dawkins has, right now, it looks like a much lower ceiling in that regard. So what do you do? I mean, with two tag team titles now, you would think that Street Profits would be good to go on a bit of a tear. And Bobby Lashley has got to get back in the world title scene at some point and mix it with Lashley Gunther and stuff. So I don't know that sometimes the simplest answer is the most logical answer is the simplest one. If they see money to be made off a group and they see more eyes getting put on the product, then they're going to go with that formula. And I think they've been very meticulous about going that formula. So maybe they just didn't see long-term legs. And MVP, I don't know, he tends to pop off on social media a bit, and WWE structure doesn't like too much kind of going off and dissenting like that. So, I mean, corporately speaking, you lower the ceiling for that kind of dissent too, better or worse. Not saying it's bad to have mavericks and people going against the grain, but again, speculation. Maybe we'll see in time. I'm sure he'll talk about it when he's out.
I'm sure he will.
Back to not getting a check. Right. Storyline wise, it's all Bloodline, isn't it? Always. All Bloodline.
I mean, just when you think the momentum is about to shift over to Raw and the Wyatt Six, the Bloodline dials it up to 11. Oh, Oh, unreal.
It's a brand war almost, but for viewership. It's not, I hope they don't mix and have a feud, those two, but you know, the Bloodline could very well run SmackDown and the White Six could very well be the overarching narrative of stuff that happens on Raw. And when it goes to Netflix and we get some production going, oh my God, the possibilities. I have to give an absolute shout out to Triple H and the creative team on the very subtle differences and interchanging angles that I've been seeing lately with a few of these things that just tie things together so nicely. So the Wyatt Six thing that happened on Raw, a little thing that was good in that is you had Drew leaving the building early because Drew kind of doesn't need to get messed up in all of that. So it kind of removed him from the situation. The Bloodline thing, so they tied in CM Punk very well into that because Paul Heyman's like a desperate man right now. He needs help. He's trying to get out of the gang, trying to get out of the mafia. Yeah. So calls upon CM Punk and you think, oh, yes, great. This is great. They're back together again. We have a little tease of the past and Paul and Punk together again. But then Punk gets taken out by Drew. And now Paul Heyman's just on an island again by himself. And it removes that question of, well, couldn't Paul Heyman just call Punk this entire time? He's called upon him and that door is closed. So that that loophole, that I guess that hole in the story of consistency is sort of eliminated. It's just very nice to see these tiny little things get tightened up. Now Jacob Fatu is in the mix, who's an absolute wreck. And it's just like, it seems like War Games is about to happen next month, but it isn't. Maybe they do want a SummerSlam. I don't know. That'd be pretty epic. In a stadium? Jesus.
Oosh. So when are we going to get the formation of the original Bloodline? When is Roman coming back? Is it SummerSlam?
So is it a foursome of Roman, the Usos, and Sammy?
I don't know yet. I'm not sure about that. It could be, but then you've got Sammy on the other show.
Yeah, he's kind of out of it now, isn't he?
It gets complicated with that. I think, you know, is there another, because there will be, is there another Samoan that can drop in?
I mean, the face team, the face bloodline needs a debutante, needs an exciting addition, right? Maybe it's Rikishi for one more War Games match.
One more match.
The kids back together. Like Jay and Jimmy, like, knocks their heads together. Like, enough of this garbage. You tried to feud and you put on a tepid match at WrestleMania. Come on now. It's time to get back on the train again. And then, oh my God, the Roman pop eventually is, with every day, it's bubbling up and bubbling up and it's just going to explode in it. You just hope you're watching the show live when it happens.
Then the other thing is as well, obviously, don't forget, new Bloodline is obviously going to have The Rock in the corner at some point. Unless the War Games line is Solo, Tama, Tonga, and Jacob versus Roman, Jimmy, Jay, and The Rock. But then Rock turns on Roman in the cage.
Yeah, I agree with this.
You could do it that way, but then how do you get from there then to Rock Cody at WrestleMania is the question, which makes me feel like, is Cody going to be the fourth man?
I mean, do they do a 5-on-5, try and squeeze in some more people? My feeling is that Rock's working with New Bloodline to make life very difficult for Cody in his absence. The Rock has really come in and wrecked Roman's title reign, just threw a spanner in the works when he had it all locked in. So Roman's going to have issues at some point. But then, does the final boss come back and we have this really epic, you know, we get Roman and Rock teaming up again. And it's a really great 4-on-4. You have to somehow get to Cody and Rock, which I don't think will be a WrestleMania. I think the Rock and Roman, they really want that at WrestleMania. The Rock Cody at Royal Rumble or something. The Rock just nicks the title away from Cody at the Rumble.
I don't know. I think here's what I want to happen at WrestleMania, right? Rock Cody. Rock wins the title. Finally gets the screw job on Cody. It's the complete opposite of what happened this year. So Rock's lifting the title. New Bloodline are in there with him. And then all of a sudden, you get some of the stadium lights start to go out. And then you get that horrendous noise. And then when the lights come back up, you've got Uncle Howdy and the Wyatt Six in the ring with just the Rock. The rest of the Bloodline have vanished. Rock's by himself. Eric Rowan finally gets revenge for all those years ago of suffering such a quick WrestleMania loss.
Oh, yes. Finish the story, Rowan.
Finish the story, Rowan. And we get the... We start to get... Because then you've got a whole thing where the Rock's been manipulating families and you know, kicking out family members to dry, you know, disrespecting wrestling lineage in the Rhodes family, like abusing his place in power within the company. And there's only one group of people that can teach him a lesson. The only group that won't like listen or pay any attention to any kind of business hierarchy, and it's the Wyatts.
Levels. That's what it's been about this whole time.
Yeah.
The Rotundas have been disrespected. The Rhodes have been disrespected.
Yes.
His Bloodline is getting to the Rock's head. He's becoming a maniacal, evil final boss.
Yep.
Oh my goodness. He tried to take over the Fast and Furious.
Ooh.
He tried to take over Jumanji.
Tried to take over DC.
The Rock is maniacal. He won't stop. He won't stop. I sincerely hope that the Wyatt Six get to a level where, that's a legitimate thing, that they really come to like a feud with the Bloodline. I hope that they it has legs, you know what I mean? I want to see Braun Strowman join that group, kind of, to give it some oomph. Maybe that will down the line. We shall see. Right, well, there's so much other news we can get into. So much other news. But we don't have time, do we? So, Money in the Bank. We have 5 matches as of now. Surprisingly, this has come surprisingly soon for me, and not the direction I wanted Bron Breakker to go in, but he's challenging Sami Zayn for the IC title. Are they just going to do a smash? Bron Breakker is now the champ, and he's just going to plow forward with that? Is the Sami experiment, not experiment, but is the run over, has it lived up to what it, you know, dethroning Gunther? Has it been much? I don't know. Seemed a bit tepid.
I don't know, because there's still, I feel like things are still unresolved with, like, Sheamus and with Kaiser. Are we going to end up building to a 4-way with that? Is there going to be, you know, something else to come off the back of that? I wouldn't hate seeing a Breakker smash. I quite like the fact that he's not in the ladder match, mm-hmm. and he's just got a title shot. I think that shows how, you know, how much they think of him, giving him this kind of spot. So I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at it. Either way, I think Breakker wins the title. Great. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. Let's do something with that.
Yeah.
Sammy winning, you know, I think can just push Breakker a little bit further. It can, you know, push him more to the edge, and then we'll just get more fun and games afterwards. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I guess a direction they could do is Sami Zayn's a very, very smart, wrestler, very experienced wrestler. They could very well do a brains versus brawn kind of thing. It could look like, you know, Bron just wants to do that smash thing, but ultimately, you know, Sami Zayn could try some tricks, gets caught up in the ropes, you know, draws him in, uses his power against him. It just, I thought they were going to do a bit of more of a slow burn where Bron Breakker was seemingly being kept back by, you know, Adam Pearce, who's trying to slowly introduce him in. And then, you know, Bron kind of goes on a bit more of a smash run.
Yeah.
Not necessarily for a championship, but it's got me curious. I am kind of leaning towards Sami Zayn, though, retaining. So that'd be
I think I'd go for Sammy retaining two on that one. I think. Yeah.
Okay.
I'd agree two on that.
Sammy. Men's World Heavyweight Championship. So we've got Damian, the bisexual Undertaker Priest, versus Seth fucking Rollins when they moved to Netflix, but for now he's still called Seth freaking Rollins. Last chance match. Seth will never challenge Priest again for the title. Wouldn't that be terrible, because Priest is going to hold on to it for so long? They never get a shot ever again. So that jeopardy seems a little whack to me. Doesn't seem like it adds much weight to it.
No.
So presumably, well, Gunther's going to get the shot at SummerSlam next. So he's next up.
Mm-hmm.
If Damian Priest wins this and faces Gunther, then it just seems like a very predictable wash. It seems just Gunther will steamroll the belt. I mean, when Seth wins the belt too, it feels like Seth versus Gunther would be a tremendous match and it's still a crowning moment for Gunther. So, I don't know. It feels kind of like a bronze medal World Heavyweight Championship match. I guess Priest.
Yeah.
I just thought of something. Sorry.
Go on.
I forgot the Liv factor. So Liv's taken everything from the Judgment Day. So I think somehow, that's my prediction, somehow Liv gets involved.
So what, in terms of
costing?
She cost Damien. Well,
actually, no, because she's helping them, isn't she? Oh, now I don't know. You go. I need to think about this more.
So I think Priest definitely wins. You're right. I think I could definitely see it being the Liv factor. She's got the guys, the tag titles. She is slowly chipping away at poor old Dominic. Obviously, Priest is still super skeptical, and I could absolutely see her managing to distract Seth. Priest wins, and then you start to see him give a little bit towards her. He starts to be like, yeah, you did, but da, 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 to the point where when Rhea comes back, you know, there's a definite split in the allegiances there. It also opens up Becky coming back potentially to get revenge for her man if Liv costs Seth.
Just, you know what? Just as much as that Roman pop's going to be great when Rhea comes back and Dom's in the ring, oof, the look on his face.
Oh, my yep. God.
He might piss himself.
But I am looking forward to the kind of, again, the kind of like Bloodline, old Judgment Day versus new Judgment Day, when you've got Damian, Rhea, and Dom up against Finn, JD, and Liv, with Kalito in tow for some reason. Yeah. I tell you what, I am looking forward to even more, and I hope to God, I don't think it'll happen at SummerSlam because I'm not sure if Rhea will be back for it. But if they don't do a custody of Dominic ladder match or Dom in a shark cage match when Rhea comes back, I will be furious. It's got to happen.
They have to.
It's got to happen.
Do you know what? When Rhea comes back, Dom's going to look full Eddie Guerrero at that point, and then Rhea's going to come back in a full China kind of outfit, and just it's going to be such, those little details are going to be there. I love it. Yep. I love the details. So who are you saying? I guess I'm going Priest.
Yeah, Priest. Definitely Priest.
Yeah. And Seth won't get to challenge again for a long time.
For a month.
For another month.
A long month.
Oh, Priest must leave the Judgment Day if Seth wins. That's a stipulation as well. Wow.
Yeah.
So it's a last chance match. Is that a gimmick match? So thus making it extra fantasy points? It's a kind of a gimmick match, isn't it?
I guess it is.
Stipulations, rules.
Well, no, I don't think so because it's not. It doesn't. There's no extra hurdle that you have to overcome to win the match. It's just. Yeah, it's not a gimmick match.
It has to be like a hurdle. The match has to be different because it's a singles match, isn't it?
Yeah.
But with a forfeit, a bet, an agreement, something in the contract. Basically. All right. Good to know. Good to know, listener. If anyone asks, no one asks. Let's see. Women's Money in the Bank. So we've still got one to be decided.
So we've got Io, Chelsea, Lyra, Tiffany, and Naomi. And then the final spot will eat. And to be fair, by the time this goes out, we'll probably know already. But it's either going to be Dakota, Ivy, or Zoe. Ivy Nile, Zoe Stark, Dakota Kai. On tomorrow's, as we record today, episode of Raw.
Ivy Nile, Zoe Stark. Ooh, Zoe Stark is a good powerhouse to put in there. I hope Zoe Stark goes in. But it doesn't matter because my prediction, who I'm going to draft in for one night only, which, by the way, Fantasy Faction folks, as well as the Forbidden Door stuff, you can draft a men's and women's Money in the Bank participant for one night only to earn extra points there. So I'm picking right here, right now, it's going to be Chelsea Green.
You think?
With the green case? Absolutely. It's Chelsea Green. It works so well with Carmella. Repeat the formula. Let's go.
Cashing in the green.
It's Chelsea Green.
You could see her holding it for the entire year.
Yeah.
Like the entertainment value of...
You could.
Chelsea holding it long term.
It's there. Would be there. Good. I'm seeing the money. I like it. Seeing the money move.
I like it. I like it.
But Tiffany Stratton will put on a show. Io Sky obviously will as well. Lyra, good platform for her to, you know, she's been put in some prominent positions lately. So it'll be exciting. Probably open the show. They tend to go that way, but not necessarily a bad thing. Because the Women's Money in the Bank, I believe the last one last one tore the house down, didn't it? It was in England.
It did, yeah. Yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah, it was really good. So,
I mean, opening the show is it's massive. It's a start to a marquee pay-per-view. So they've got all the ingredients for this to be a really good one. But come on, Chelsea. Let's go.
I think I could see Dakota being the other name added, because then you get the damage control, EO Dakota dynamic throughout the match. But I think Tiffany.
Tiffany?
I think we go Tiffy time. Yeah.
That's an exciting that'd be an exciting direction. That's a different kind of Money in the Bank winner, right? Because it's like a an anticipation for what could be a shoo-in, you know what I mean? Whereas Chelsea, it's more of a comedic win, which could go wrong. See which direction they go in. They tend to go either direction with the briefcases. So from one briefcase to another, the men's, you've got Jey Uso, Carmelo Hayes, Andrade, Chad Gable, LA Knight thus far. This is just going to be a high-flying match. It's a shame Ricochet is not going to be anywhere near it. Carmelo Hayes is in there.
And the final three. So the triple threat on Raw is between Drew, Dragunov and Sheamus for that final spot.
Dragunov's exciting.
Dragunov is exciting.
Possibility.
Mm-hmm. Are we going to get a punk? Another punk screwing Drew if Drew gets it?
Yeah. Yeah. Just back and forth. Keep doing it.
The final screw job before SummerSlam.
Yeah. It gets one more in, and it's they've cleverly kept punk relevant while in recovery.
Mm-hmm.
So, why not keep that going? But then again, you have the almost guarantee that LA Knight's getting screwed by Logan Paul. So is it going to be a very, very screwy Money in the Bank? Yeah.
Could be.
Just chaos. Why not?
Absolutely. I can't see past Jey Uso, to be honest. Mm. Like, I feel like it's too obvious. Is there like a bloodline shenanigans thing we get to start to bring that, you know, because at the minute there's no reason really, other than Heyman getting attacked, there's no reason for certainly Jay or Jimmy to come back into the fold. Absolutely no reason whatsoever. Mm. There's a reason for Roman to start paying attention, but there's no reason for the Usos to even consider doing any of that. So you need something for that. So potentially, Jacob Fatu turning up and screwing Jay. You know, a backstage segment leading to something in the ring.
Yeah.
Would do it. I'd love to see LA Knight get his up, but then I can't see anybody cashing in on Cody.
It wouldn't feel right cashing in on him so soon. It would be ultra shocking for Jay to win the briefcase and then main event Money in the Bank, do him on the end of the night. And then Jey Uso then joins this new bloodline world order, and it's just utter shambolic chaos.
Yeah, but I think I'm going to go Jey.
Jey, Well, I want to go something different to keep it interesting. You wouldn't think Chad Gable's obsession with the IC title means he wins this match and then goes after that.
To be fair, that could be how Sami Bron ends. Gable, the first person to cash in on the IC title.
After Bron wins it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not 100-1 shot. It's 10 or 15-1. You'd stick a quid on it.
I'd pop for it.
All right, we'll take a punt on Chad then. I'll take a punt on Chad Gable. That'll be my official pick for my team as well. And my prediction. Yep. All right, Chad and Chelsea doing the business.
Chad and Chelsea.
For the cheap pop, for the original cheap pop. Chad and Chelsea. Right. James and Stratton, which are probably the most logical choices, and you've just absolutely blitzed them.
Yeah. And then we've got the six-man tag.
Oh, wow.
So we've got Cody, Randy, and Kevin against Solo, Tama, and I'm assuming it'll be Jacob, but either Jacob or Tonga.
Yeah, probably Jacob for two. Now, my question is, after all this chaos and destruction and feuding and whatever, are we to believe that one referee is going to keep them apart and it's going to be a structured six-man tag team? Everyone's going to stand in the apron well-behaved? Or are they just going to be like, is it going to start like that? And then the Nick Aldis comes out and be like, you know what? He does it again like he did in France. He's like, c'est la vie. Yeah. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Do we want it? And then that's his thing. That becomes Aldis's thing. He comes out and says, you know what? Fuck it. And then everyone pops.
He's got to, especially with it being in Canada. Off. Yeah. It's got to be done.
Yeah.
Got
to be done. In French again. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my prediction. He just goes off the rails.
And I'll tell you what. Do you know what? Remembering that we're in Toronto, that makes me feel like even more like Chad's going to cash in on Sammy.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Because what if, shit, obviously, this is when we get the Creeds enter the fray. So Ivy loses the triple threat on Raw. Disappointed about that. Chad's still trying to get back in with the family, but they don't want him. And then we get the Creed brothers come in, help lift Chad to the briefcase. The ambush on Sammy in Canada.
Yes.
Oh.
And we have the new. This is when Chad Angle finds his full form.
Yeah, 100%.
Into Bald Perk Angle. And this is the new Team Angle. Team Alpha. But yeah.
Absolutely.
This puts Chad forward.
Oof. Yes.
This is the extra. It's the last piece of the puzzle for Chad Gable. This is the rocket. Just needs
to be good.
Yeah, and then Otis and Maxine. You know, they could go on their merry way and still be a good act, actually. Those two together. With Tozawa in town.
100%.
But anyway.
And then we'll have chaos in the arena for sure. Chaos for sure.
So the main event, who wins? It's got to be Bloodline, right? Keep it strong.
You'd think so, yeah.
Oh, because there's the Randy Cody factor, isn't there?
There is.
It happened again the other day. Cody with a impassioned promo in the ring. Randy's walking around, pacing around. Cody says, my WWE championship. And then Randy stops in his tracks. Right where the hard cam is. Beautiful timing. Man knows where the camera is. Absolute professional. And then sort of, you know, raise his eyebrow a little bit. Like, who's champion? So that's coming.
Got to be.
So whether Randy would... he wouldn't forget his honor. He wouldn't screw Cody and that's the finish. That's coming afterwards, if at all. I think probably Kevin Owens takes, slowly the team gets picked apart and, you know, Kevin Owens probably takes powerbomb after powerbomb just, and then they run him ragged and that's the finish. Bloodline wins.
Yeah. I mean, I want to see Solo pin Cody, if anything.
I think that'll be next up.
Well, yeah, I mean, no title on the line. If you're having a Bloodline win, I don't think there's any reason that you have Owens or Orton take the fall, I think you have Solo pin Cody to make a statement. And then you've got a threat. Like, it elevates Solo. You've got a threat, a genuine threat over Cody then, and a nervousness.
Yeah. That's a statement. That would be actually, if Owens and Orton were taken out separately and Cody's the one that's, you know, sort of sacrifice for the finish and the statement of pinning the WWE champion.
Yeah.
Also, which suggests,
there'll have only been two people this year then that would have pinned Cody. Which makes a nice little outline for the future.
My goodness. Levels.
Levels. There's levels to this. Exciting.
Brilliant. That'll do it for that one. Okay. So, once again, for the Fantasy Faction crew, you have a chance to draft a men's and women's Money in the Bank participant separate to who you have in your team. If you already have a Money in the Bank participant qualify, then good for you. You get to pick another one. So for one night only, you will win the points that a Money in the Bank participant would. If they cash in on the same night, that's extra points too. That counts because it's on the night. So the current round will end next weekend. So I believe Money in the Bank's on Saturday and then NXT Heatwave is on Sunday. So it'll actually finish at the NXT event. But the Money in the Bank will go a long way into predicting the final outcome. And honestly, I'll need some time to work out all those bloody points. So maybe I'll do that during NXT Heatwave. That'll be what I do for that 2.5 hours. Currently, I'm top of the shop before Forbidden Door with 660. Somehow, some way.
Screw job. Cheat.
Screw job. Cheat. I'm fudging the numbers. We'll get accused. Wrestling for Life, second. High Side of the Ropes, third. Fourth is Wrestlers and the Nerds. Champions, current champions, on day something astronomical. The Call Up Podcast in fifth. Okay, should we do some very quick fire Forbidden Door predictions before we get off? All right.
Let's do it.
How many matches is that? 14. Right,
excuse I'll read me, 14, for the love of God.
Yeah, I'm not watching this whole thing. I just watched England. I'm sleepy. Okay, so let's see what we've got here. So on the pre-show, it's LIJ, so Takahashi, Titan, and Tsuji versus the Lucha Brothers and Mystico on the pre-show trios match. I'm going to go for Lucha Bros team.
Yeah, I'll go Lucha Bros too.
Okay. Statlander and Momo Watanabe versus Willa Nightingale and Tam Nakano. Yes. I apologize if I butcher these names.
I'm going to go Willow. Team Willow.
I'll go Team Statlander on that one. Mariah May with Timeless Toni Storm in her corner versus Saraya. Saraya on the pre-show. What happened? It's a Women's Owen Hart Cup tournament. I'm going to go with Saraya.
I'll go Saraya too, because I can see something happening to then affect the match later on in the night.
Fourth match of the pre-show, we got House of Black. So it's a four-way tag team match. House of Black, but only Malakai Black and Brody King, because Buddy Matthews is busy consummating. Tomori Ishii and Kyle O'Reilly. That's a team.
That is a team.
Roddy Strong, Gabriel Kidd, and Private Party. Ooh, I fancy Ishii and Kyle O'Reilly, yeah.
Never bet against the House.
Never bet against the House. We were about to say never bet against the Black. I saw your pause. the House. The House always wins. But
I'm going to go House of Black.
Okay. Next. So opening the, I don't know the order of the card, but we'll go with what it says here. Ladder match for the vacant TNT title. So we've got Takeshita, Mark Briscoe, Jack Perry, Dante Martin, Leo Rush, and El Fantasmo. Jack Perry.
Yeah, gotta be. Got to be Jack Perry, surely. I mean, I'd fucking love it if it was Mark Briscoe, but...
be epic, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Perry. Gotta be Perry.
The Learning Tree. It's a trios match. Chris Jericho and Big Bill with Jeff Cobb versus Samoa Joe, Hook, and Shibata. Someone's getting battered in this match. Someone's getting headbutted. Like, this is a fucking hard-hitting match. I'm going to go with Joe Hook and Shibata.
I'll go with the Learning Tree.
The Learning Tree. That's going to get chopped down, mate. Timeless Toni Storm versus Mina for the Women's Championship. Got to be Toni Storm.
Yeah.
She's timeless. She's never losing it.
Timeless.
This match is going to be boss. Zack Sabre Jr., Orange Cassidy.
I think it's going to be Zach.
Yeah. Zach. Yeah, I'm going to go Zach too.
It feels like the only match on the card where there's realistically a chance for the New Japan star to get a win. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I know what you mean. Unless Moxley and Naito.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know how well the Moxley with the title thing's been going. It's been very quick. I don't know if they like flip-flopping that belt so much, but maybe I'm going to go Naito maybe for that one. That's who I'm drafting for. No, it isn't. I'm drafting the other chick. Never mind. Predicting Naito.
You're predicting Naito. I'm going to predict Moxley.
The MJF match. I'm going to go MJF.
Yeah, which sounds so fucking English right now. It's absolutely painful. Jesus. It's got to be MJF.
All right. The Elite. Fucking Okada. He's the best thing about AEW right now, up there with Toni Storm. So it's the Young Bucks and Okada versus Scissor Ace. So it's Hiroshi Tanahashi and the Acclaimed. This is a tough one for me. The Elite.
I really feel like it's going to be the Elite. But for the interest of entertainment value, I'm going to go with Scissor Ace.
Scissor Ace. What a name. All right. Mercedes Moné. Yeah, let's go with Stephanie. Let's go. My prediction, my draft for Fantasy Faction.
Mercedes all day long.
Let's go. Let's get egg on Mercedes' face and move on. Bryan Danielson versus Shingo Takagi. It's a men's Owen Hart first round match. I'll go for Bryan Danielson. I think he'll win it. I think he'll go all the way.
Yeah, Danielson.
But this would be a nice crowning moment for him. I'm fully on board with him winning it. 100%. All right. I am so... I have no idea what's going to happen in this main event. Swerve versus Ospreay.
Swerve.
Too soon for Ospreay, you know?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, both are going to look absolutely stellar. And it is a great match to prop up Swerve's title reign, which has been called into question a little bit. I mean, I like his character. He's no nonsense. And he is, from what I've seen, it seems determined to overcome sort of the assumption that this is Will Ospreay's time and crowning moment, which will probably be in London, to be honest, right?
Yeah.
Probably be at Wembley. Yeah. That's the pop. But no, they'll have just an all-out war here. Absolutely wear each other down, and it'll be absolutely 50-50 match with Swerve just, you know, wouldn't be surprised if he just puts a finger over him at the end for a 1-2-3 and just it's that close.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Swerve, definitely. I reckon. Nice.
Excellent. Well predicted in record time, I think, as well.
I think so. We kept that nice and tidy.
We did.
What a day. Oh, my God. Come on, England. Absolutely going to smash the Euros now.
Yes. 1-0 all the way. Shithouse. HMS Shithouse the tournament.
Oh, with overhead kicks from Jude Bellingham. Hey, Jude. Don't be afraid. Take a shit team and make it better. That's all we need to do. Na, 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 na.